Welcome to Torah Timecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Stacy Nechama Goldman, and today we will be studying Divrei Hayamim Aleph, Perek Yod Tet, Chapter 19. Nachash, the king of Ammon, has died, and David decides to send messengers to comfort his son Hanun in his grief to repay an unrevealed kindness his father Nachash had done for David. Hanun's advisors convince him that the comforters have come with malintent, and they insult them terribly with both words and actions. Hanun sees how much he has insulted David, and he hires mercenaries to protect him from a battle with David. David's nephews, Yoav and Avishai, devise a way to defeat them, and they retreat. The Arameans then team up with different allies in a second attempt to fight Bnei Israel. David himself goes out to fight with his army and leads them to an overwhelming victory. Our chapter opens up with the death of Nachash and David's response. Pasuk Aleph, Vayhi acharei chen vayamot Nachash melech b'nei Ammon vayimloch b'no tachtav. And it came to pass after this that Nachash, the king of Ammon, died, and his son reigned in his stead. Pasuk Bet, Vayomer David, Ese chesed im Hanun ben Nachash, Kiasa aviv imi chesed, Vayishlach David malachim, Lenachamo al aviv, Vayavou avde David al Eretz bene Ammon, El Hanun Lenachamo. And David said, I shall show kindness to Hanun the son of Nachash, because his father showed me kindness. And David sent emissaries to comfort him concerning his father. And David's servants came to the land of the children of Ammon to Hanun to comfort him. Who was Nachash, the king of Ammon, and why did David feel the need to send messengers to comfort him? There is no indication from our book or the parallel narrative in Shmuel Bet that Nachash was anything but dangerous and evil to Bnei Israel. In fact, the only other event which mentions him is when he threatened to take out the right eye of all the people of Yavesh Gilad. Shaul rallied all of Bnei Israel to defend the people of Yavesh Gilad and defeat the Ammonites. We mentioned this in our summary of chapter 10, when the people of Yavesh Gilad risked their lives to bring the bodies of Shaul and his sons for a proper burial in the land of Israel after they were killed by the Philistines. What kindness could Nachash have possibly done for David? And even if they had done a kindness, what warranted this attention from David? He would still have to contend with the verses in Devarim that forbid us from ever seeking the good of the Ammonites or the Moabites. They read, "An Ammonite or Moabite shall not enter the assembly of the Lord. Even the tenth generation shall never enter the assembly of the Lord, because they did not greet you with bread and water on the way when you left Egypt, and because he, the people of Moab, hired Balaam, the son of Beor, and Petor in Aram Naharaim against you to curse you. But the Lord your God did not want to listen to Balaam, so the Lord your God transformed the curse into a blessing for you, because the Lord your God loves you. You shall not ever seek out their welfare or their good all your days." And finally, why did the advisors to Hanun suggest such a humiliating response, as we see in verses 3 through 4? Pasuk Gimel, Vayomru sarei bnei Ammon lechanun hamechabed David et avicha ve'einecha ki shalach lecha min chamim halo ba'avur lach kor ve'la'afoch ul'ragel ha'aretz ba'u avadavi lecha. And the princes of the children of Ammon said to Hanun, "Do you think that David honors your father because he sent you comforters? Is it not in order to investigate and to search and to spy out the land that his servants have come to you?" Pasuk Dalet, Veikach Hanun et avdei David, Veigalchem, Veichrot et madvehem bechetzi, Ad hamifsa'a, Veishalchem. And Hanun took David's servants, and he shaved them, and he cut their garments in half up to their groin, and he sent them away. The Midrash Tanchuma helps us to answer some of these questions with a surprising explanation. According to the rabbis, the chesed Nachash did was while David was fleeing Shaul. David requested from the king of Moab to keep his family safe while he was on the run. He thought they would have sympathy since his great-grandmother, Ruth, was a Moabite. They agreed, but once David left, they killed everyone except for one brother, Elihu, who managed to escape to Ammon, where he was taken in by Nachash, the king. When the king of Moab inquired if he had seen the surviving brother, Nachash denied any connection and guarded Elihu until David could return and bring him back to Israel. This was indeed a tremendous chesed. But what about the halacha forbidding David from seeking out their welfare that we read from Devarim? The Kesef Mishnah, Rav Yosef Cairo, explains that if someone from one of those nations did a kindness for you, you can repay them, as David did. So why did the Ammonites respond in such a cruel manner? The same midrash quoted above continues and says that Hanun's advisors were familiar with the verses from the Torah concerning the Moabites and the Ammonites. They did not believe David would break an explicit mitzvah from the Torah and therefore suspected his servants of espionage. In our account, we are told that they shaved their beards, whereas in Shmuel Bet, it says they shaved half their beards in addition to cutting half their garments. The Chida explains in Chomat Anach that their goal was to reveal their nakedness, just like their perceived intent was to expose the land and its nakedness and its weaknesses to attack it. When they returned to David in their humiliated state, David allowed them to stay in Jericho until their beards would grow back. The Ammonites worried about David's reaction and hired mercenaries to prepare for war. David put Yoav, his general, in charge of a military response. When he saw that there were two battle fronts, Yoav commanded his brother Avishai to oppose the Ammonites, while Yoav would fight the mercenary Arameans. In Pasuk 10 we read, Vayar Yoav ki haita pnai hamilchama elav, panim ve'achor, ve'ivchar mikol bachor Yisrael, ve'yaroch likrat Aram. And Yoav saw that the battle front was before and behind him, and he chose all the choice men of Israel, and he put them in array against the Arameans. Pasuk Yod Aleph, 11, Ve'et yeter ha'am natan biyad Avshai, Achiv, ve'archu likrat b'nei Amon. And the rest of the people he gave into the hands of Avshai, his brother, and they put themselves in array against the children of Ammon. Pasuk Yod Bet, verse 12, Vayomer, Im techazak mimeni Aram, vayita li lichua, v'im b'nei Ammon yechazku mimcha v'hoshaticha. And he said, if the Arameans will be too strong for me, then you shall be my aid. And if the children of Ammon will be too strong for you, then I shall aid you. It is interesting to note that Avishai is called Avshai throughout the book of Divrei Hayamim, as opposed to in Sefer Shmuel, where he is consistently called Avishai, with the exception of this verse and the parallel passage in Sefer Shmuel. Rashi explains in our chapter on verse 11, into the hands of Avshai. To Avshai, who is called Avshai throughout the entire book of Chronicles, both in the written text and in the reading, except for these two cases, which are exceptions to the rule according to the Masorah. The reason that he is called Avshai in this entire book is because it was written in David's honor, and it is not honor to call his nephew Avishai, meaning I too am as esteemed as David because my grandfather was Yishai, Av Yishai. Therefore, in this entire book, he is called Avshai, and in the entire book of Shmuel, he is called Avishai, except once, where he is called Avshai, 2 Samuel chapter 10, verse 10, and the rest of the people he gave over to Avshai, his brother. This is, according to the Masorah, because Yishai, Jesse, was the father of his mother, Tsruya, who was his mother. Avishai was a prominent character early in David's life when he was fleeing from Shaul and had the opportunity to strike him in Shmuel Aleph chapter 26. Avishai strongly encouraged him to do so, while David insisted he could never stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed one. Both Avishai and Yoav were responsible for killing Avner, Shaul's general, after Shaul was killed, and David attempted to unite all of Bnei Israel in Shmuel Bet, chapter 3. Once the Arameans realized they had lost this battle, they organized for a second attack with different Arameans from across the river, whose general was named Shofach, In Sefer Shmuel, he is called Shovach. While the Ramban explains that the Bet and Fe are interchangeable with no difference in meaning, the two Midrashim offer interesting explanations. Midrash Tehillim says that it was because he was Shofech Damim. He was a spiller of blood, so he is called Shofech in Divrei Hayamim. Otzar Midrashim explains that he's called Shofech here because he was so fierce that all those who saw him would nishtafchu, involuntarily empty their bladders. Another discrepancy appears in verse 18 with the number of Aramean chariots that David slew. Vayanas Aram milifnei Yisrael, vayarog David me'aram shivat alafim rachev ve'arba'im alaf ish ragli ve'et shofach sar hatzava hemit. And the Arameans fled from before Israel, and David slew of the Arameans the men of 7,000 chariots and 40,000 foot soldiers, and he put Shofach the general to death. In Shmuel Bet, the number is 700. Malbim tells us that Ezra is explaining that every chariot had 10 horses, so it equaled 7,000, like in our chapter. Our chapter ends with the complete submission of the Arameans. They make peace with David and have no interest in ever aiding the Ammonites again. It is interesting to know that the wife of Shlomo, who will give birth to Rechavam, the chosen heir to the Davidic dynasty, is Naamah the Ammonite. Thank you for studying together, Li'ilui Nishmat Malka Esther, Bat Tzvi Yosef.